Welcome to the Get to the Point podcast, a podcast for busy women who want to have real conversations about fitness, nutrition, and lifestyle, but without rambling or wasting time. Let's get to the point. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Get to the Point podcast. This is your host, Leslie Ann, the certified personal trainer and fat loss nutrition coach and the founder of Fat Loss Lifestyle School. On today's podcast episode, I'm really excited to introduce you guys to someone who I think you're going to love because I love her. And I think we have similar tastes, all of us, you know, we like straight shooters. We like people who have a good sense of humor and tell it like it is. And that's why I'm super excited to introduce you guys to my friend Liz from thecleaneatingcouple.com. Hey, Liz, introduce yourself to the podcast and tell everyone where you're from and what you do.
Hi, Leslie Ann. Thank you for having me. I feel the same way about you. I love Fat Loss Lifestyle School, so I'm super pumped to be here and to be talking to all of you that are listening. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Liz Marino. I am from the website, thecleaneatingcouple.com. It is a food blog all about simple, easy to follow, healthy recipes. And we do lots of recipes for people that have allergies, like if you're paleo or dairy-free or gluten-free, a lot of recipes that tailor to that. But honestly, a lot of the recipes, I'd say like 90% of them, kind of tailor to exactly what you're learning if you are in Fat Loss Lifestyle School. I focus on really simple ingredients, no foo-foo novelty things that you need to travel to Whole Foods for, no fancy steps. Like we're kind of a no-frills group over at The Clean Eating Couple. So that's a little bit about me and what I do.
Yeah, this is why we get along. No frills.
Yes, exactly.
To the point. Boom. Yeah. So I don't know any of this. I can't believe I don't know any of this, but how did you actually start thecleaneatingcouple.com? Like, was this, something you wanted to become a career? Did it just kind of happen accidentally? Like, what did that process look like?
Yeah. So it's kind of like half and half. I went to college for marketing. That's what my degree is in. And unlike a lot of people, when I went to college, instead of gaining the freshman 15, I lost the freshman 15. So I was never really an active person. I wouldn't say that I lived an unhealthy lifestyle, but like sports aren't my thing. They never have been. They never will be. and I never stepped foot into a gym until college, when I was like really anxious and really not loving it. And my boyfriend at the time, now husband, was like, hey, he was super into working out, bodybuilding, all of that. So he was like, hey, why don't you just go to the gym and walk on the treadmill? Like, you can't hurt. You have a free gym at school. So I did that. And then I was like, wow, I feel so much better just by walking. What if I try lifting weights? What if I try doing a plank, like all these things? And he would teach me different exercises and whatnot. And then he was like, well, what if you try eating a little bit healthier? And again, I wasn't eating this terrible diet. I didn't really eat a lot of processed food growing up, like Easy Mac and things like that. Just wasn't like, you know, I was like eating cereal for breakfast or, you know, not really fueling myself in the best way. So I started eating more vegetables, eating lean protein. And then I was like, holy crap, this is amazing. Like, I feel like a new person just from moving a little and eating a little bit better. And I loved it so much that I just kind of like dove into it, like so many people do when they're first starting their fitness journey. And at the time, there weren't a ton of food blogs and whatnot. So as I was making protein muffins and, you know, healthier banana bread or things like that, my friends and family would be like, hey, could you send me the recipe for that? So I was like, oh, let me just start this free WordPress site to like highlight all of those recipes that I'm making. So I did that. And then I quickly realized, because my degree was in marketing, we were starting to do influencer events. I'd gotten a job. I worked at a couple different brands. I was like, oh, there are people doing this for a full-time job. And I don't actually love sitting in a cube from 9 to 5, similar to you. So I figured, let me give this a shot and see if I can build this up on the side as I, you know, do my 9 to 5 corporate marketing gig. And that's what I did. I built my site up to a point where it wasn't matching my salary, but it was enough that I figured if I can go and work an extra 40 hours a week on this, I probably could turn it into something.
Oh yeah.
And in the midst of that, I also became a body pump instructor. So I was doing that on the side. So I was just all in on, you know, I'm going to do the fitness instructor thing. I'm going to do the blog together. That can be my job. And it worked. I took the leap and it's been amazing. I've been self-employed. It'll be 4 years in January and it has been the best 4 years ever. And I love what I do.
And I love that you brought up body pump, because that's kind of how we met, because yes. Your trainer at instructor training was who?
Your husband.
I know.
What are the odds?
Where was that training at? Do you remember?
It was in Hamden, Connecticut.
Okay. Yeah. I remember he, you know, after I was out on a body pump training too, somewhere else in the country. And we always would text each other in the evenings or call each other from our hotel rooms after the training and be like, how's your training? And he's like, there's this girl here. I told her about you. She has this really big blog. Like, you probably know who she is. And I remember I looked up your site, I checked you out. And then I think we connected on Instagram or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was so funny that that's how we met, was, you know, via body pump. So
yeah, such a small world.
Yeah. And like you, like, body pump actually was my first foray into fitness as well. And then, hey, I mean, look at us, both of us kind of making this whole,
yeah, online,
figure it out.
Yeah.
Online entrepreneurship, figuring out as we go, all that
exactly.
stuff. Yeah. So now that this is your full-time job, and it has been for a while now, I mean, you've seen like the good side and the bad side of,
yes,
working online and being an entrepreneur, running your own business. With so many people leaving like the traditional workforce right now, I'm sure you've seen the articles about like people quitting their jobs. Everyone wants to be a small business owner. They want to be their own bosses. What do people not know about running a small business or running a blog that, you know, they might be surprised by?
Yeah. I mean, I guess people probably know this when they're making the jump, but specifically for being a small business owner, like, you just do not know what is going to happen. It is not for people that, well, I don't want to speak for you, but I feel like we're both a little type A. We're planners.
A little bit.
It's like really not great for if that's your MO, because you never know what's going to happen. It could be totally flipped over the next day. You might get a paycheck one day. You might not get it the next day. So it's not ideal if you love structure and whatnot. It's not for the faint of heart, not to sound cheesy.
Yeah, no,
so there's that whole aspect for it. And I don't think that everyone is meant to be an entrepreneur. I think that you have to be the specific type of person to want to do it and to enjoy doing it. There's just so many facets to it. I think that a lot of people don't realize, like, it's not, oh, I'm just going to be a blogger and that's like what I'm going to do. I'm also going to be an accountant and a social media manager, and I'm going to have to figure out, you know, cash flow and expenses. And I'm also a hiring manager, and I'm also just a manager in general of those people that I've hired and all the things. There's a lot that goes into it. I would say specifically for blogging and food blogging, I think that a lot of people just think, oh, I'm just going to take a quick picture with my iPhone and post on Instagram, and that is my job. And like, that is
1%. That's not what you do?
No, it's actually not what I do. Other than, you know, the occasional post on social media, you know, it's really not a casual operation. Some people do it that way, but I think it's hard to be successful at anything if you're just going to kind of be casual about it. So there's a whole team of people behind me doing research on, you know, the keywords that people Google. I have someone helping me with writing. I have a food photographer that helps me, a recipe developer. It's definitely not like a, let me snap a quick picture of what I'm eating and post it on Instagram, because that would drive me crazy. And I don't think I'd get very far with that.
You have like a whole legit operation. Like, what is your website traffic like? Do you know how many visits you get?
Yeah. So we get between 500,000 to like 750,000 people on our site every month. And in January, it'll probably close to like 1.5 million people.
Yeah.
January, the time we're talking, it's December, but yeah,
it goes crazy.
January is like bananas.
Did you see an increase with the pandemic?
I did. But it's actually held pretty strong. Okay. My traffic is only down about 10% versus last year. Initially, you know, and like when things first started to kind of pick up with the pandemic, definitely saw an increase in traffic, which I think that my site's traffic is like nowhere near compared to the traffic of like baking blogs, or like if you had a bread blog, last year was like your time to shine. I think that people were really craving comfort food, but then they also realized, all right, like there's only so many times you can bake banana bread before you're like, I guess I should eat a salad because I feel terrible. So I think people were starting to turn to my site for that, because I have a lot of recipes that are comfort food just made lighter.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And that's something I go to your site for a lot, which is, you know, if I do want to make muffins or banana bread, there's a way to do it with better quality ingredients, less sugar, all that good stuff. So you can kind of still have something that is fun and a little out of the norm and like a treat, but it's not full of like vegetable oil and white sugar and white flour.
Exactly.
Just, well, yeah,
exactly.
So what is your process like for creating recipes? Do you ever just stare at your screen like, what am I going to do this week? What's my next recipe? I've made them all.
Sometimes I do feel like that. So a lot of my recipes are things that I grew up eating. Like I came from a big Italian family. We love to eat. We love to cook. So a lot of things that are on my site are versions of what I grew up eating, just made lighter. And then, you know, sometimes I'll go to a restaurant and taste something. I'm like, oh, this could be really good if I did this with the chicken, or if I used olive oil instead of this and whatnot. And then I'll get inspiration from that. Then the other place that I kind of get inspiration and ideas from is I have someone, like I mentioned before, that is helping me with keyword research, which is basically like, you know, what are people typing into Google to find recipes? So
they help.
Yeah. So they basically will come to me and say like, hey, we looked at like the top 25 healthy food blogs that have similar content to you, and they have a tuna salad recipe, and they have a, you know, healthy turkey burger recipe or a Greek salad recipe. You should create your own version of that. And as long as it's something that I'm like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. Like we make a tuna salad with Greek yogurt that like my husband loves, like, of course I'll put that on the site.
Yeah.
I get kind of ideas from there, because I think it's kind of easy to get siloed in like the, what I grew up eating, what we cook sort of thing. Like I actually don't eat fish. So as I'm using the tuna salad as an example, but the tuna salad was something that they told me to do. And like a baked lemon salmon, like that's so simple, but I don't eat that. So I would have never thought to come up with that kind of recipe. And I didn't come up with the recipe. My husband did, but you get where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
It's nice to see what other people are looking for or kind of craving, and to be able to create content around that.
That's so fascinating. And you mentioned your husband, and like, he was kind of your, you know, buddy as you were getting into the gym and better eating and all that stuff. How much is he involved in all of this? Cause that's something I don't think a lot of people see. It's mostly you on like Instagram stories, et cetera.
Yeah. He's not super involved with it. He helps me mostly with recipes. So like, I'll come to him for the things that, like, I don't eat. It's mainly like seafood. Or I'm not like a big egg person. So like any of the egg recipes on our site, he's developed, or, you know, he's a great cook. So I'll be like, hey, I want to make this, but I'm envisioning making it with ground turkey. And like, what if we did this to lower the fat and whatnot? And I'll be like, all right, why don't we do this, this, and this? So he kind of helps me with recipe creation. And then I think he has like the best job ever. He's the official taste tester of everything that I create. I guess you could say it's the best job, and sometimes it's the worst job. So he gives like the official stamp of approval on all the recipes and critiques all of them.
I totally test recipes out on my husband too. I'm like, thumbs up, one up, one down. Like,
what are we thinking? Should I
share this with other people? Are you just being nice to me right now? Yeah. Don't lie to me. Is this good or not? What is the last like epic kitchen fail you had? Have you had any like recipes that come to mind where you're like, whoa, that did not work?
I've been trying to make casseroles. I didn't really grow up eating casseroles, but a lot of people ask for them. So I tried to make a couple of casseroles over the summertime that were just disgusting. Like it was like raw rice and like bouncy chicken and crunchy, then mushy vegetables. It was like, at the time my brother was living with us, and he and my husband were just like, Liz, like, this is not it. Like, this is terrible. I can't even finish this. We need to order takeout because I cannot eat this. So I've since learned, and now I have a recipe developer that helps me with the casseroles, because it's just not my thing. Don't worry.
Casserole manager. It's funny that you said that, because every freaking year I start getting messages from clients around like October, early November. And they're like, do you have the healthy green bean casserole recipe? Nope. Sure don't. I've tried. It never turns out. It's not my thing. Just make the one with the sketchy canned soup. Yep. And the crunchy French's onions, and just enjoy the thing and move on.
Yeah. I don't have I feel the same way with you about like those special recipes that you eat one day a year. It's just like, just don't change it. It is what
it is. Just freaking do it. Yeah.
We make this like Jiffy corn mix casserole. That's like, when I say the ingredients out loud, it's disgusting. It's like sour cream and cream corn and box corn muffin mix. I would never, ever make that in a million years for dinner. But on Thanksgiving, I'm like, this is the best recipe ever. I will never try to touch it, because it's just, it is what it is. And it's great.
Classic. I mean, it's one time a year. Just get over
it. Exactly.
So speaking of kitchen screw-ups, which we all have, I think a lot of people, especially now when everybody's so busy, they don't have a lot of time. Even if they like to cook, they think they don't have time to cook. And then some people just, you know, they just flat out think they're bad at it. So what advice would you have for somebody that's listening to this right now they would like to eat healthier. They would like to kind of move in this direction that you're talking about, but they're like, yeah, I don't know my backside from my elbow in the kitchen.
So I would say really focus with the basics. Like, this is exactly what you teach in Fat Loss Lifestyle School, but like, pick a protein, pick a bunch of veggies, and pick a carb. Just if you kind of can think of that instruction in mirrors, like, that's gonna be a lot easier for you. And then along that, focusing on the basics thing, don't make complicated recipes.
Yeah,
I think that that's such a problem when you Google like healthy XYZ recipe. It's like, oh, well, you got to use cashews to make a sauce and you got to boil them with a special powder. And it's like, who has time for that? Because I don't. No. Don't make recipes like that. Look for recipes that have really simple ingredients. I'm not trying to self-promote myself here, but there's just no need for that. You can make really delicious food with very minimal ingredients and minimal steps. So try to stick to recipes, if you're going to follow a recipe, that have really simple things in them and that you're comfortable with, like, okay, I can brown chicken in a pan. That's like not too over my head. And then maybe, you know, in a couple of weeks, you'll try doing another method of cooking chicken or something like that. Until you have more confidence, I would just say stick to super basic stuff.
Yeah. And when you're starting out with Fat Loss Lifestyle School or like improving your eating, I think there's something to be said for not overwhelming yourself and just keeping things really simple, because, you know, it is going to help you build your confidence. But also when you're trying to change those habits, that alone takes so much energy.
Yeah. Mental energy.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't think like people realize energy. That.
Yeah. Right. It's so true, because especially if you're coming from a place where you're like, this is a complete overhaul of how I was previously eating, you are going to be expending some mental energy and obviously your physical energy, but that's where focusing on those simple things comes in handy so much. Like one of my favorite meals ever is roasted potatoes, frozen green beans, and pulled pork that I make in the crock pot. And I literally take this recipe is on my website, but it's 2 pork tenderloins, some olive oil and some spices, some broth, and you just cook it for 8 hours and shred it. You could do it with chicken. You could do it with chicken tenders. You could do it with all kinds of stuff. It's so simple, but toss some barbecue sauce on it and you have such a like delicious and satisfying meal. And that's so easy. Like there's nothing to it, you know?
Yeah. I think people have lost sight of like how, like you said, how satisfying and delicious really simple meals can be with just simple seasonings and simple cooking methods. And they go online and see all these ridiculous recipes where you need ingredients that you've never heard of before. Of course, you're not going to keep up with that. Like I wouldn't do it either.
It's also a lot more affordable to stick to simplicity. When you start buying coconut flour and almond flour and special almond milk and this and that, like that stuff gets really expensive really quickly. Even buying pre-made things like jarred sauce or things like that, like if you want to buy the kind that has really good ingredients, it's not cheap, which I'm all for like paying for good quality food. I really believe in that. But if you want to save money and just make your life a little easier, it's going to be a lot simpler to just stick to basic stuff.
Yeah. And we'd plan to talk on this on the podcast episode here anyways, but let's talk about this topic of specialty foods. I have a whole podcast episode on this. I think we had a whole conversation on Instagram and our DMs about it because it drives us both crazy.
It's a problem
with all these new diets like paleo and, there's the whole 30 stuff and there's keto and there's vegetarian and vegan and all the things. Now there's all these special foods that have come out that food manufacturers now, like everything you pick up in the middle of the grocery store has like a million different buzzwords and like labels all over it.
Yeah.
And I think it's really confusing for consumers who are trying to make healthier choices and maybe trying to lose weight. And then they buy these specialty foods and like, it doesn't add up. So what's your take on all of these hashtag, you know, all the marketing buzzwords,
specialty foods? Well, that is exactly what I was going to say. Like, it's a marketing play. It's really, really good marketing. As someone that has had the background in it, it's like, how many buzzwords can we put on this and make the packaging look really cool and fun and different, make it pop and have a fancy end cap at the store. Like, it's really good marketing. I think that if you take anything away from this little segment, calorie for calorie, a paleo chip and a Lay's potato chip are like nearly identical.
Yes.
If you buy, I'm trying to think of like some of the other examples. If you buy a gluten-free cookie and you buy a regular Chips Ahoy, Like, look at the nutrition facts. They're going to be really close. They're going to have sugar. They're going to have carbs. They're going to have fat. And that's fine. If you want a gluten-free cookie, like, go for it. If you have celiac disease, like, yeah. eat the cookie. I'm all for it. And if you love Chips Ahoy and that's like your favorite thing, like, eat the Chips Ahoy, like, go for it. I'm not telling you not to do that. But I just don't think, like, don't get trapped in the, oh, because this is gluten-free, it's better for me, or it's lower calorie, because it's not. And sometimes, especially with these paleo things or these keto brands, yes. they're made with nuts. And again, I'm not knocking nuts. They're nutritional powerhouses, but they're high in calories. So if you are eating a cookie that's made from almond flour, it's probably going to even be more calorically dense than a regular cookie. And again, I know that, you know, we're not focused on counting calories and whatnot, but in order to be in a fat loss, you have to be in somewhat of a caloric deficit.
Right.
And if you're eating almond flour cookies, it's probably going to pop you right out of that really quickly because they're dense in terms of their calories.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of, when you used to go to the grocery store refrigerated section to get like coffee creamer, it was like, there's this kind or this kind or this kind. Now there's literally like rows and rows and rows of there's vegan creamer, there's oat milk creamer, there's keto creamer that has coconut oil in it, that has butter in it, that has blah, blah, blah in it. And it's like people's heads are probably spinning now just trying to like, what do I put in my coffee? Like what the?
Yeah.
And this is one of the biggest questions we get like right out of the gate in Fat Loss Lifestyle School is like, what do I put in my coffee? And when we tell people like, just half and half is fine. Really? I don't need like, you know, MCT oil and monk fruit extract and all this, you know, gobbledygook. It's just, everything has gotten so complicated.
Yeah. I mean, I think that while I wouldn't call myself like paleo, I think that whole thought process of like, this is how cavemen ate, not to like bring us all the way back that, but like they were not putting butter in their coffee.
No.
I mean, they probably didn't have coffee. I'm glad that we don't live back then. However, they probably weren't eating, you know, that they weren't eating a paleo chocolate chip cookie. They didn't have an oven. So like, we probably shouldn't be eating it either. It just like, doesn't really make sense. I do think like, and I will give all those brands credit. I think that they are opening the doors for people that have food allergies. I mean, I think 10 years ago, if you had allergies of any sort, dairy, gluten, whatever, you weren't finding much and it probably tasted like cardboard. So I think that a lot of those brands have offered, you know, kids the ability to like have a birthday cupcake or, you know, even for, if you do want to indulge a little bit more mindfully in terms of the ingredients you're consuming. So I think that they are doing good stuff. I think that like all for it, but for the most part, like, let's not get trapped in the fact that like they're healthy for us. Cause they're just not.
Yeah. Yeah. Just cause it's a cauliflower chip, it's still a chip.
And also let's just talk about the fact that like, if you really want chips, do you really want to eat a cauliflower chip? No, you don't want to eat that. You probably just want a regular old potato chip. So if that's your craving and you really want that, I'm of the camp of eating, like just eat the real thing and move on with your life. I like, you know, healthier options here and there. And some of them are really good and they will satisfy that craving, but you're also probably not going to be satisfied if the only thing you like is like this, you know, death by chocolate cake and you're trying to make a black bean brownie. Like it's not the same thing. It's never going to be. So let's just call it what it is.
Yeah. So with all of these different approaches to nutrition that are out there, we just talked about a bunch of them, like paleo, there's Whole 30, there's keto, there's Weight Watchers, there's macro tracking. Like you, on your website, like you have recipes to kind of cater to all these different nutrition approaches, which is in and of itself an impressive feat. And that must take a lot of work. Have you done all of those different approaches to nutrition? Like, are there any that you personally ascribe to?
I wouldn't say I ascribe to anything. There's nothing that
You're not on the team, Liz? What?
There's not any of those that I'm like, everyone. Well, first of all, I don't tell anyone what they should or shouldn't do. And I think that all of these diets can be really beneficial to people with different things that they're working on. You know, there's all kinds of research that say that, you know, eating a grain-free diet could be beneficial for XYZ or eating a keto diet could be helpful for XYZ. But if you are just talking about a general 90% of the population, probably, most of you don't have a food allergy. Right. And there's no reason why you need to be cutting out every single thing. I mean, I love Whole30 for what it is. It's an elimination diet. Yes. I think that
Say that again, Liz.
Yeah. Let me say it again. It's an elimination diet. Whole 30 is designed for you to learn what foods trigger you in different ways. If I hadn't done a Whole 30, I'd still be drinking whey protein powder and wondering why my stomach hurt for 4 days. I have them to thank for that. I haven't drank the few times that I've drank whey protein over the past 7 years, it probably was, since I've done Whole 30. I'm reminded why I don't drink it. So if you use it that way in a tool, it can be really helpful. Same for paleo. Like, they all have benefits. Even Weight Watchers, I don't believe in it, but I think that like the basis of the program is like kind of good in, you know, explaining to people about lower calorie foods, whatever. Mm-hmm. I've never done it, but I get where they're going with it. I just think like, who wants to be weighing out their food and counting points? Like, I will tell you that that's my least favorite thing when I'm doing my blog post. It's like, okay, a cup of flour is 4 points plus 7 points divided by 6 servings. Well, I'm like, it's a math equation. It also changes,
doesn't it? Haven't they changed every year?
It's changed twice since I've put the Weight Watchers points on my site. Ooh. So at this point, I'm just like, I don't know what to tell you, but not to bash Weight Watchers, but I just think that we don't need to be doing these strict diets. Mm-hmm. You know, when you wind up restricting yourself and saying, I can't eat carbs, I can't eat dairy, I can't eat gluten, then what happens is like, you're at a party and there's a cake in front of you and you eat 6 slices of it. And then you really feel terrible. And you realize, oh, actually, like, there was no reason why I couldn't have had cake for the past 6 months when I wanted it.
Yeah.
So I don't really do any of that. I just focus on eating really simple foods. I mean, I do exactly what you teach in Fat Loss Lifestyle School. I do try to somewhat avoid gluten and dairy. I don't avoid it. I just don't eat it all the time simply because I have eczema. And I've found that if I don't eat as much gluten and dairy, it just helps my skin. But you better believe that if it's pizza from our favorite restaurant, I'm eating the pizza and I'm going to be a little bit itchy the next day and it's going to be fine.
Some things are worth it. Yeah.
Some things are totally worth it. But every day, you know, I don't eat a ton of it, but that's kind of my shit. That was a very long-winded answer to a somewhat simple question.
It's amazing. No, it's amazing. All of it. So let's back up to what you just said, because you and I did work together, full disclosure, like, you've done our program, and I have to say thank you, because every time you mention us on Instagram, I always know that you have tagged us on Instagram before I even look, because our followers just like explode.
I love that. That's awesome.
I'll just get like rows and rows and rows of people who are like, new follow, new follow, new follow. I'm like, oh, I bet Liz mentioned us again. And like, that's always it. So thank you. But why, with all these like other nutrition approaches out there, like, what is it about Fat Loss Lifestyle School that makes it different to you, that makes it something that you believed in and like would send people to?
Yeah. I will say that this is the only thing that I send people to. I get questions all the time asking like, what do you think about keto? What do you think about this? And I'm not qualified to offer you nutrition advice. That's why I turned to you when I needed help. I can tell you how to make a really good keto dinner, but I can't tell you if you should do keto or not. So this is the only thing that I guide people to, because I think it applies to like truly everyone. Men and women, I will say, I think that anyone can benefit from Fat Loss Lifestyle. So even though it's designed for women, I think that it applies, what you're teaching applies to everyone.
We really need to like make a dude version.
I know.
All of our clients, they're always like, my husband really wants to do this. Do you work with men? My boyfriend really wants to do this. Do you work with men? But we're working on it. We just like, we need to clone ourselves to make that happen. And
right. There's only so many hours in the day.
Yes.
But the thing that's different about Fat Loss Lifestyle School and you is that it's exactly the opposite of what we talked about earlier. There isn't confusion. There aren't rules. There isn't get out a food skill and log everything in an app. There isn't you can eat this, but you can't eat that. It's so simple. Like, not to say that what you're teaching is just like, oh, it's so simple. Like, anyone could do it. It's just so simple that it makes sense. Nothing that you are saying and teaching is confusing in any way. And it's presented in such a digestible way that obviously I think I had a little bit of a background than probably most of the people that go into your program, because I did have just a general understanding of food and cooking and whatnot, but everything you taught, I was like, oh yeah, duh, that makes sense. Like, what? Of course I should be doing that, or like think of it in this way. And I also loved how easy it was to integrate in my life, because when you do any of the diets, and that's the difference between you are a lifestyle, not a diet. Diets, I feel like, are short-lived, and they're just so much that go with them in terms of like you know, you have to toss everything in your pantry and you can't eat this and this has to go and swap to that. There's none of that. It was anything can be included in this. Here's how we've portioned things out. Here's like our philosophy and whatnot. And I just felt like it was such an easy program to do.
I think the other thing that's different too, is that it's customizable. And yes, the way that you eat is the way that you need to eat because you have a unique set of preferences and you have, you know, a certain activity level based on what you're doing in the gym. And so all I helped Liz do was figure out like, how do we fuel her for what she's doing every day? And also put her in a gentle calorie deficit so that she slowly starts to lose body fat. Yes. And that's really all it is. I think that's my biggest gripe with what's out there for the weight loss industry, the nutrition industry, the fat loss, whatever, all these programs, is they make it so complicated. Mm-hmm. And once people see what it actually comes down to, they say exactly what you said, like, oh, well, duh. Like,
yeah.
Everybody, myself included, like I couldn't put it all together for myself either until I hired a coach, a trainer, whatever, to do it for me. So, you know, there's something to be said for having a coach, a trainer, somebody to just distill it down for you and exactly. walk you through the process.
Yeah, exactly. But I would say though, even if you aren't someone like me that had a general understanding of like healthy eating and cooking, you don't need to have that to do this. The way that you teach it and distill it down, it could be for anyone at any point in their life, like no matter what you eat, no matter your activity level, no matter what you do for your job, it really doesn't matter. To your point, it can be completely customized to what you want to do and fueling your body the right way. Like the other thing that I would say is that it's just really sustainable. You know, the reality of it is that there's going to come a day where you can't take your food scale with you somewhere. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you can, but like, do you really need to be doing that? At what yeah. point? Like it gets a little crazy. And logging everything you eat into an app. Like, I don't know. I look back on those years of my life and I'm just like, what a waste of time that was. Mm. Think of all the things I could have been doing if I wasn't worrying about like how many grams of protein I was eating every single day of my life. That's just like an aside, but you know, that's not sustainable. There's going to come a time where you can't do that. But what you are teaching is something that allows people to kind of adapt and move forward with it, no matter what is going on in their life or what they're doing or, you know, all seasons, I feel like.
Yeah. And one thing I love about what we get to do is working with women like you. Like you have a lot on your plate. You just described at the beginning of this podcast, all the, like you are the ringleader and you are managing all these different moving parts every day of this business. And you still have time to do this for yourself. And that's every single woman that we work with. They are juggling all the things just like you are. I don't think this needs to be a full-time job for anyone.
No. And I think that some of the other diets that people might take up are going to be a full-time thing. If you yeah. are doing an elimination diet, you need to make sure that there's no sugar or dairy or gluten in that coffee creamer that you're using. And if you are doing something where you need to log your macros or count your points, you got to make sure to scan it in the app. How many points is it? Is your dinner going to be 6 points or is it going to be 4 points? You need to be within 20. Like, I don't yeah. have time for that. And I think that most people don't have time for that. Yeah. And even if you do have time, like, wouldn't you rather spend it relaxing on the couch at the end of the night than like logging things in an app? I don't know. It just seems a little silly.
Yeah. I think it's all of those things are tools. Like you said, there are
absolutely
benefits to all of them. I think I've done, you know, just for the sake of learning about them, if nothing else, like I've done phases of keto. I did Weight Watchers a long, long, long time ago. Some of those things I did just for my own personal knowledge and education, just so I would know what people were doing out there. But yeah, it's definitely, once you learn it, you can just put it on autopilot.
That's exactly how I feel. Like,
yeah,
it's hard when I hear like my friends and just people I know being like, oh, we've got to get back on the wagon or
yes.
Monday's coming or after the holidays. And I'm just like, what if you didn't have to do that? What if you just did the thing and ate your cake on a Saturday night? And then on Sunday morning, you just went back to how you normally eat. And it wasn't this diet. It was just, this is how I eat. This is what I do.
What you just said right there, like that is my dream for like women in the year 2022 or very, very soon is to where we are talking about bigger things.
Yeah.
We are not having, when we get together, which I think we all have a new appreciation for actually getting together and seeing each other in real life. Now, when you get together with your girlfriends, do you for real want to spend that precious time talking about like, what diet are you doing? How many points is in that? Are you eating carbs now? Oh girl, I am being so bad right now. My diet starts again on Monday. Like, is that actually what you want to talk about with your girlfriend?
Yeah, it's so toxic.
Or your sisters or whoever. It is.
And I also feel like it's like toxic to, I mean, I don't have kids. I know you have a daughter, but I hope that when I have kids, like, I don't want to be talking like that in front of them and like having them hear that, because I truly believe, and like, this is just like my philosophy on food, that like, as important as it is to eat well and eat produce and whatnot, like, we are only here once. And I enjoy eating so much. I enjoy trying new things. I love pasta.
You're Italian. Come on.
Yeah. I love pasta. I love cheese. I love pizza. I love dessert. I do not want to miss out on any of that. It's fun. It's a cool way to experience new cultures and different things. And like, I don't want to have those awesome experiences be cluttered by the, like, this is bad. I shouldn't be eating this. I have to burn this off, or like whatever BS that comes with that. And I think so many people could like use that reframe of mind. But like, I'm not on a diet. I don't look any different. I mean, maybe a couple pounds in terms of my body fat. From when I got married last year, I have not bought any new clothes. Like I wear the same clothes. Right. I feel the same. I feel good. I'm not on a diet. I don't want to be on a diet. I don't have time for a diet. Like, this is just what I do. I didn't, you know, work out so crazy or super restrict my calories leading up to my wedding. Like, yes, I was more mindful of the workouts that I did. Yes, I was more mindful of the things that I ate, especially in like the couple weeks leading up. Like, I didn't want to be like bloated from eating super high salt or things like that.
Right.
Do anything crazy to like reach that goal. And once that time had passed and I wore my dress and I rocked it, I was like, cool. Like, maybe I could eat an extra cookie a week or whatnot. And like, not really think about it as much. But it wasn't like this free for all the day after my wedding. Like, let me just shovel everything in my mouth and do whatever I want, because that's a crappy place to be in too. Like, if you are dieting for something specific and then the thing happens, and then what if you don't reach your goal weight, or what if you do, but then the day after you blow up again with like eating all the things, and like, that's just a really terrible cycle to be in. And we just don't need to.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm feeling like just listening to you talk about that makes me anxious and twitchy.
Yeah. So. Same. I'm like getting nervous. I'm so terrible.
Yeah. But I have to say what you just said a bit ago, like, you don't have kids yet. I just had a baby. Like, she's 8 months old as of a few days ago. But that's the other cool thing about what we do, is that it's crazy. Like, when the woman in the household decides to like step up and start taking better care of herself and starts eating differently, not puts herself on a diet, or, you know, starts fasting or stops eating carbs or all that crap. It's not about like pushing it on the people around you, but like, suddenly her spouse is now interested in like, what, that looks really good. Can you make me one of those? And the kids, like, we get so many of these adorable photos where mom's taking a picture of like her plate, and there's like a little hand reaching and like grabbing carrots and vegetables and eggs and whatever. So it's so cool that it doesn't have to be that complicated. Everybody can do it. Your whole family can do it. Mom doesn't need to be on a special diet. And like, when you do get to that phase in life, if that's something that you have for your future, Liz, like, I just went through it. Like, you're so set. You don't have to do anything crazy or different for your pregnancy or afterwards or whatever. It's just like, it's sane and normal and healthy. And
And that was like part of the reason that I wanted to work with you too. I like wanted to get, I do want to have kids, and like, we're thinking of doing that within the next couple of years. And I was thinking in my head, as I was like, all right, before my wedding, let me download my fitness pal and get on this wheel. I was just like, I don't want to do this. And then what after, like, am I going to have to worry about this if I do get pregnant? Like, and have to think about that after I have kids, and then how will I feed myself and like feed my family and whatnot? I'm always like thinking of all these things. It's part
planner. Why you're so good at what you do. Yeah.
Part planner, part anxiety. I obviously can't speak to that because I've never experienced it, but like, I'm very confident that if I am lucky enough to be able to get pregnant, I will not have any issues with it. And if I do have an issue, I have the tools to kind of figure it out. And to your point, like, what a gift it is to like be teaching your daughter that like, oh, you don't have to eat, like mom doesn't have to eat this special food while you get to eat this. Like your whole family can benefit from eating more protein and more vegetables.
Yeah.
Everyone can, that's good for everyone. So it's a gift, I think, to be teaching not only yourself, but like the people around you. It's kind of like a rising tides lifts all ship sort of thing. Cause everyone can do this, to your point.
Yeah. I think that's what's, again, what's getting so lost in all of the, you know, this diet team, that diet team online, is that there's this lovely middle ground where everybody can do these like really basic things. And it doesn't have to be the most extreme thing, the most specialized thing. Like pretty much everybody, like regardless of how old you are, or like what you do for a living or whatever, you're probably going to feel better. Like you said, 90% of the population, whatever it is, if you just start eating more real food, eat more protein, eat more vegetables, like that no brainer stuff.
Exactly.
Really? Like, let's, can we not all agree on that? Apparently not. This team's like, people, plants are killing you.
Yeah, I was just gonna say,
like, meat is killing you. So whatever.
We can say we can agree on it, but I'm sure there's someone on the Angry Vegans on Instagram will find you and they don't agree with it.
They already have. Yes. Vegan Gate 2001 or 2021, whatever that was. Yeah. So since we are in late December and the high holy season of nutrition and weight loss and diets and all that is about to start, what, you know, since this is something you and your team kind of do, like what food trends or things are you kind of watching for 2022 for cleaneatingcouple.com?
Yeah. So the things that we're seeing, not to go back to the diet thing, but paleo and keto, I just got an email.
Yeah.
Today.
Again, they're still there.
The searches are still ramping up on that. So, but I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily creating things for those. I don't create anything for a specific diet. I just like to provide options for people. If that is the route that you choose, like keep the beans out of this. If you're paleo, if you're keto, add less carrots, add more tomatoes, or, you know, I try to offer those things so that if it is the path that someone's on, they can at least enjoy some tasty food. But I'm not really, I wouldn't say that I follow those trends in terms of diet very closely. Because at the end of the day, I always have all those things in the back of my mind. Like, how could we make this dairy free? And sometimes I'm just like, no, this can't be made dairy free. It needs to have cheese in it. Like, I'm sorry, but if you make it without the cheese, it's not going to be as good.
Cheese is mandatory.
Exactly. So I don't try to get too crazy with it, but it is just something that I'm mindful of.
Got it. So if someone's listening to this podcast episode, they're like, this Liz girl sounds like my jam. I want to check out these recipes. I really like her philosophy and her vibe. Because I don't think you know this, but one of your Instagram stories a long time ago was when I was like, instantly, I'm like, this chick is like, I love her. I'm not going to call out the brand, but you were talking about clean skincare.
Oh, yeah.
A very cleverly marketed clean skincare company. And you were just doing your like sassy straight shooting, like it's naughty, like, just, you know, doing what you do on Instagram stories. And I'm like, I love this. Like, she just doesn't care if she's, you know, offending someone. Like, she's just sharing her opinion and her belief. And, you know, if you like it, cool. If you don't, move on. I love that about you. So if people want to come and find you and your recipes and your straight talk, where do they find you?
Yeah. So you can find me on my website. It's thecleaneatingcouple.com. And then I'm on Instagram at the clean eating couple. There's the in there. And then if you want to email me, I'm always happy to chat. It's liz@thecleaneatingcouple.com. And yeah, you can hang out with us on all those places to get all the yummy recipes, the occasional rant about whatever I'm feeling.
That's
spicy
what it was.
About.
It was a rant. I couldn't think of the word. It was a rant. It was awesome.
Yeah. So recipes and rants, depending on the day, that's the place to find me.
That's the next working title for you. You know, if you decide to change your brand name, recipesandrants.com.
I love it.
I would read that. One piece of advice that you have for somebody listening to this right now who is thinking about changing their lifestyle in January.
I would say don't fall into the trap of all the diets and just keep it super simple. Eat lots of protein, eat lots of veggies, eat frozen veggies, buy pre-cooked protein if that's what helps get the trick done. And just keep it super simple. You can make really delicious food without crazy ingredients and spending hours in your kitchen. And you don't have to be eating like steamed broccoli and bland chicken either to be healthy. You can eat healthy and make it delicious. I promise.
Yes. Yes. And, one thing I don't know if people know, but you actually created a recipe guide for our Fat Loss Lifestyle School clients. So when you join Fat Loss Lifestyle School, they get this lovely book of recipes and a bunch of them are yours. We actually had people say like, is this from Liz? I follow her and this tastes familiar. Yes, it is.
Yes. And I think there's like 30 recipes in that book around that. But I mean, we have like over 400 on our site. So if you don't find what you need in that book, there's plenty more to choose from on our site. And like I said earlier in the conversation, there is a way to customize literally everything on my site to make it work for what you guys are doing.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for chatting with me today. We could probably go on for like 2 more hours, but let's just do another episode sometime.
I would love that.
All right, girl. Thank you. And guys, go find Liz at thequeeneatingcouple.com. If you loved this episode and you want more people to find it, go ahead and give it a review, share it on Instagram, share it on Facebook, tell your people about it. We appreciate you listening and we appreciate you sharing. Have a great day. And thanks for listening, everyone.